Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is daughter of Yisrael Abel Debra Hawkins. I want to serve you as a priestess starting very soon. Please find your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Sarai, and we are about to begin services, so please have your pens and pencils and notebooks ready.
Now I would like to turn it over to the next person.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. As we start a new week, let's remember that Yah said He will never leave us nor forsake us. Let's continue to uplift one another as I turn the services over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You can be seated. The peace of Yah be with each and every one of you. My title for today is, What Are You Looking For? Out in the world, people are looking for some way or place to save their lives. In Overseer's prayer for ending our lovely Passover, he mentioned three main points that you can receive protection for these last seven plagues. They are repentance, conversion, and going to the place that Yahweh chooses to place his name. These words can be found in Deuteronomy 12, verse 5, and Acts 3, verse 19. Please turn to Deuteronomy 12, verse 5 on page 152. I meant on page 157. And it says, But you are to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh your father shall choose out of all your tribes to establish his name, and there you must go. Turn to Acts 3, verse 19 on page 142. And it says, Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins can be blotted out, that your times of refreshings can come from the presence of Yah. These words are not only words, but they are actions that can save your life. When we follow Yisrael Hawkins' teaching us, we are one step closer to receiving this great shadow protection and entering into Yahweh's kingdom. This shadow protection is only received at the house of Yah in the city of Yisrael, Texas. Please turn with me to Colossians 2, verse 16 through 17 on page 926. And it says, Therefore, let no man condemn you for doing these things, eating and drinking in the abundance of a feast day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath day, which is a shadow from things to come for the body of Messiah. If we follow what Yisrael Hawkins is teaching us, one day we will hear, Well done, my righteous servant, enter into my rest. And if you are all, please stand as I turn it over to our next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. My title today is Preparing for the Greatest Wedding Feast. We, the great house of Yahweh, in these last days are making ourselves ready for marriage to our great high priest, Yahshua. So now we are all busy selecting venue, what colors we are going to use, our gowns, shoes, hair, and makeup, right? No, our preparation is a spiritual walk with Yahweh. In our words, thoughts, and actions to prove ourselves worthy of being that righteous bride. In the 18th book of Israel, chapter 19, verse 11, pastor said, This is what you are training for. You won't get it without that white garment. That white garment, believe it or not, is nothing else but humility. If you don't have that humility, you don't have that white garment, and you'll be kicked out even if you follow the crowd in. That's what Yeshua, your high priest, over the house of Yahweh chose. You either do it or you don't get it. If you would turn to page 745 in the book of Yahweh, Matithiah 18:3, and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of Yahweh." So what must we do to become humble like a little child? Number one, always obey your authority. It takes humility to be obedient to your authority in everything you are told to do. Number two, always ask questions before making a decision you are not sure about. In the 18th book of Israel, chapter 6, verse 18, pastor says, "Remember to always ask that able to receive an answer." Number three, don't hold grudges. When we put down our pride and we have a humble attitude, we are able to forgive. Asking for forgiveness helps you to develop a humble attitude. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. It's so nice to see you. Please sit.
Praise Yahweh.
Let the peace of Yahweh be with all of us here today in social distancing. All those who are joining us over all different forms of media, and all those who are hungering and thirsting for great Father Yahweh's righteousness. I thought, when mankind is in chaos, tribulations, things he cannot understand, I thought mankind would try to go and find his creator or look for his maker to help him with things that he doesn't understand. I thought that was what mankind would do. But it seems not in our days today. Because let me show you, you remember the saying, actions speak louder than words? Can I show you a picture, please? Action speaks louder than words. Look at this. Churches are removing holy water, closing healing sites over the coronavirus. So the Catholic churches are removing communal holy water. If you thought there was something you could not handle, would mankind want to really give us a lot of that holy water to help heal us? Or is there something that they know, really, this is not going to help? We better get this thing out of here. It's just a question. Where is the faith of our fathers that in crisis, mankind would fast, pray, find Yahweh, find his father? Would that make sense? Yes, praise Yahweh. And now, for the essential businesses, you know, everything is going to reopen again, and it's time to have essential businesses. And I said, we heard one of the governors, I'm not sure the name or the place, and he was naming all the places that's going to reopen, and I did not hear church services, because thinking of the people, you know, and wanting to reach out to the Father. I said, where would the church services be? And we found something on the online. Can I show you again, please? Is it there? Oh, yes. It says, what's open? Look at the first one. The following is a list of what remains open. The first one was gun stores. House of Yahweh, let us be, let's think about those things. Because if this is what the world is doing, then you know the only hope will be in Yahweh's great house. Do you understand? Gun stores? Where is faith in the Creator and Yahweh the power? And look at the second one. Liquor stores. The guns cannot see the coronavirus, and the CDC is saying when the flu season begins again, that virus is going to be there and that's going to multiply, and now we're going to see something. But you open the gun stores first, and then the liquor stores. Great House, be ready, because then mankind will need nice help. And you know where that help is going to come from. Okay, and also, so from the great house of Yahweh, the special welcome also to our speakers who will be speaking on the theme, prepare yourself to meet Yahweh and Yeshua. Get to your best. Get to your best and stay there. Get to your best and stay there. And with this from the great house, we send out true peace, joy, and love to the world. And with our great first speaker, praise Yahweh.
Thank you.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The title of my speech today is Our Hope. In Zechariah chapter 5, verse 9, it tells us that one of pastors' jobs would be separating the way of the world from the way of Yahweh. Now, right now, we can see the state the world is in. They're fearful and hopeless. I have an article here that I want to share with you. This is from the Washington Post, 4/2/2020. Coronavirus is harming the mental health of tens of millions of people in the United States, new poll finds. Nearly half the people in the United States feel the coronavirus crisis is harming their mental health, according to a survey published Thursday that demonstrates how the COVID-19 pandemic has escalated into a nationwide psychological trauma. The tracking poll by the Kaiser Family Foundation, conducted on 3/25 to 30th, found that 45% of adults say the pandemic has affected their mental health, and 19% say it has had a major impact. The poll makes one thing clear. If you're scared, anxious, depressed, struggling to sleep through the night, or just on edge, you're not alone. And then here's another article from the Carib Report. This was on 4/1/2020. Suicide rates on the rise amid coronavirus pandemic. America's response to the coronavirus pandemic has left millions of people feeling hopeless and despondent over the mounting debate from job losses. The suicide rate in America is rising as many Americans feel desperate, hopeless, and lonely. 75% of Americans are on lockdown around the nation. Now, keep in mind, this is only the first plague, and the people already have no hope. They're scared because life as they knew it is changing, and they don't know what to do. Imagine how it's going to be when the second one comes. In Yashub chapter 14, found on page 419. Yashub 14 and verse 19, it says, As water wears away stones in torrents, wash away the soil of the earth, so you destroy the hope of man. Now, Yahweh doesn't destroy anything, but he is allowing what mankind hopes in to be brought to nothing. They've put their trust in the financial systems, and now they're crashing. They've trusted in their medicines, and now they can't find a cure for this virus. Now they are running to their churches to save them, but their preachers can't help them. Yahweh is proving that there is no hope outside of him. But for all of us, you all, Yahweh's people, we aren't fearful because we know Yahweh's plan. We know how this is going to end. And everything that Pastor has been teaching us for years is finally coming to pass, and we're being able to witness it with our eyes. We have hope because we trust in Yahweh and his prophecies. And not one of them are going to fail. In the Mark of the Beast, part 2, can I have my slide, please? Chapter 18, verse 323 and 325. It says, we will be rewarded with eternal life if, and only if, we hold the hope of our calling steadfast unto the end. The hope of our calling is the expectation of being a part of the kingdom of Yahweh. The kingdom of Yahweh is the government of Yahweh. This government will be given to the sons of Yahweh, chosen to be his family, the house of Yahweh. Did you hear that? We are the chosen of Yahweh. That will be a part of Yahweh's eternal government if we hold on until the end. If you turn over to 1 Kefa, chapter 1 and verse 13 through 15, found on page 957. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the undeserved pardon that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Yahshua Messiah. As obedient children, do not conform to the former lusts you had when you lived in ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, so you also become holy in all of your conduct. This is why we need to remain steadfast in the hope of our calling. And this is how we're able to get to our best and stay there. This is not the time to give up. The world cannot save us. They are desperate right now, trying to come up with things to save themselves, but it won't last long. Soon they will see that their way only brings more curses. And like it says in Deuteronomy, they will be groping in the dark for answers and will find nothing. Great house of Yahweh, don't be one of them. Don't lose hope. We have nothing to fear here. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, now may the Father of hope fill you with great joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may abound with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Psalms chapter 31, found on page 445, Psalms 31 and verse 24, be of great courage. He will give strength to those who hope and trust in him. This is speaking of us. Yahweh will give us great hope if we put our full trust and strength in him. In closing, I'm going to share with you a song, the words to a song that I heard growing up in the house of Yahweh. This song reassures us of Yahweh's promises if we hope until the end. Hope in Yahweh, 1, 2, 3, his plan is easy for us to see. Trust in Yahweh to see us through, protection for me and you. Keep his laws, obey them too, peace it brings to me and you. We will pray so we're not tempted. Keep us safe and in your way. Dark days coming, do not fear. Yahweh will always be so near. Yahshua Messiah is on his way, and Yahweh Shema will work and stay. Hope in Yahweh, 1, 2, 3, his plan is easy for us to see. And now I will turn it over to the next speaker.
Please be seated. Okay. So the title of my speech today is The Kingdom is Now. As we look at the state of our world today and going through our own personal struggles in our lives, we earnestly look forward to and long for the kingdom to come. We want all the suffering to go away and for us to finally know what it's like to have a perfect life. Not only for ourselves, but for everyone around us. Yet time goes on. Years go by and still nothing occurs, so it seems. But what is the kingdom of Yahweh? The answer isn't as complicated as some might think. Let's look at Luke chapter 17, verse 20 to 21. If you want to turn there, it's on page 803. It's Luke chapter 17, verse 20 to 21. It says, once, when the Pharisees demanded to know when the kingdom of Yahweh would come, he answered and said to them, this is Yeshua speaking to the Pharisees, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of Yahweh does not come with observation. Neither will they say, look here, or look there, for behold, the kingdom of Yahweh is among you. You see, the kingdom of Yahweh is not something to sit around and wait for. It won't just suddenly appear in front of us, and we aren't going to physically see it coming. The kingdom of Yahweh is simply the government of Yahweh. It's us governing our lives according to the laws of Yahweh, and we're learning and training to do this now. Look around you. The kingdom is taking place right now. This mindset that we have sometimes, that we have to wait for Yahweh's kingdom, is what prevents us from getting to our best and actually staying there. Because if you're simply just waiting for something to come that you think is so, like, far away, you won't ever get to your best. And you're not going to, and if you do end up there, you're definitely not going to stay there. We need to simply stop simply waiting for the kingdom to come and realize that the kingdom is now. And once we do so, we'll be able to start making Yahweh's way our lifestyle. It's not something that we're just doing temporarily. It's something that we're doing because we know we want this to be our way of life. It's something we desire to do. And we'll be able to start living today the way we want to live forever. Matthew 6, verse 33 says to seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We do this by seeking and desiring to live our lives according to the laws of Yahweh, not seeking to live our lives the way that the world does, because we can see that the rules they govern their lives by are failing. And we can even look at the governments today. They have no idea what to do with themselves. So we shouldn't be looking to them to solve all our problems. We can start now to build positive habits that will get us closer to perfection. Why wait to improve your life when we're being given the opportunity to do so right now? Today is the day to start improving and living your best life. Yes, it's not going to be perfect because we don't live in a perfect world yet, but we can do our very best. And we're not just doing it for ourselves. In Daniel 7, verse 27, it says, "Then the kingdoms and governments and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of Yahweh, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all governments will serve and obey him." The coming of Yahweh's kingdom is when Yahweh's governments will take over the whole world and man's ways and laws will be no longer. Yahweh's government will be the only ruling government. This is what we're waiting for. We will be able to receive the greatest blessings and have all the things we desire and want when the laws take over. And it's because everyone will be keeping the laws of Yahweh that we'll be able to be living a wonderful life, even better than we possibly can now. We have the opportunity to be leaders in this great kingdom, in this everlasting kingdom. And we can have high authority and power in this kingdom, but we have to be ready for it. We have to set our minds right now that we want Yahweh forever. If we build the right habits right now and focus on living our lives according to the laws, it'll be easy for us to do once the kingdom has taken over. We then freely become an example to everyone else. In the 15th book of Yeshua, chapter 2, verse 51, Pastor says, "And brethren, wake up. You're the teachers of this great kingdom who Yahweh is using. He's going to use. You're the light of the world right now." We ourselves are the great kingdom Yahweh is putting together. We are the kingdom of Yahweh, but we don't always act like it. So stop waiting and start doing. Make Yahweh's way your lifestyle. Live today the way you want to live your life forever, because today is forever. And don't forget, the kingdom of Yahweh does not come with observation. The kingdom of Yahweh is among you. The kingdom is now. Please stand and welcome our next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Imagine yourself preparing to stand before and meet Yahweh and Yahshua, which is the theme for our speaking today. When I was first given this topic, my brain literally froze, because who am I to be able to meet Yahweh and Yahshua? Shoot, just to place a phone call to our beloved pastor, I get all full of anxiety, and then I start stammering and I stutter, and I know why, because it's the position that he holds. He's Yahweh's last day's witness. But to reach the point that the Apostle Shaul reached in 2 Timaeus 4, 7 through 8, to have that confidence, well, that's another story. So part of preparing to truly know and understand who I'm about to meet, this understanding brings respect for those people that we're about to meet, those persons. It also brings a humility about and the reverence that's necessary to be able to reach that point where we actually can meet Yahweh and Yahshua. I really had to examine myself, because to reach this point, I have to truly be honest with myself, as we all do. After all, in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 through 10, it reminds us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And it goes on to tell us that Yahweh tests and tries the mind and the heart. Also in Psalm 139, we're told that nothing can be hidden from Yahweh. He knows our comings, he knows our goings, he knows every single thing about us. In several of the books of Yisrael, Pastor talks about a prophecy about the Malachim that are closer to him than his jugular vein. And he says in the fifth book about they're recording everything that people have to do that pertain to him, that deal with him. They're recording their actions, their words, and all of that. And even though Pastor might stand and say, this person is righteous, this person is trustworthy, this recorder, this Malachim can say, but on this day, this person did or said this with no repentance. And this is something that I try to keep in mind, because I want to be able to reach that point where I can meet Yahweh and Yahshua. Yes, I can say all the right answers. We've all been taught. But do I live those answers? Do I apply them each and every day in my life? Are they just pretty words to me that don't really mean what they truly do mean? I need to put away all the negativity within my life, making me feel like I can't ever reach that point. Because we know we can. Yahweh told us. He called us here not to fail, but to succeed. I have to reach the point when I'm going to meet Yahweh. I have to reach the point where I have that confidence when I meet Yahshua. Or I have to reach that point even when I have to place a phone call to Pastor. Pastor's been saying for years that you're 99.9% there. Imagine just to be there. Yet the thought of me walking into the kingdom, it terrifies me at times. But then I remember 1 Yochanan 4:18, where it tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. But what is perfect love? Have you ever thought about what perfect love is? It's keeping and applying Yahweh's 613 laws in our lives. We know Yahweh's laws are perfect, as Psalm 19, verse 7 tells us. We also know that Yahweh's laws have been tried and tested 7 times, being perfected, as Psalm 12, verse 6 tells us. We know these things, but do we believe these things? That's a question that I have to ask myself, that we all have to ask ourselves. Do we believe these things? Because when we believe them, we live them. In Jacob chapter 3, verse 2, it tells us that the person who controls his tongue, the same is a perfect man or woman. Yahshua walked perfectly. He was our perfect example. He showed complete self-control because he trusted Yahweh. The kingdom, the plan, it was all very real to Yahshua. Do we trust in this beautiful plan? Do we put it to work each and every day in our lives? Or do we defeat ourselves by negatively thinking, who am I? So-and-so can do it so much better than I can. But we have to stop comparing and start becoming. Yahweh called us. He's been preparing us by teaching us through the teachings of the Last Day's Witness, by the example of Yahshua, high priest, and by knowing, Yahweh knows, our fullest potential. He knows that. And placing before us the tests and the trials that are needed so that we can reach that potential, and we can. Each and every one of us can reach the potential that Yahweh knows we can. Through the sermons, through the righteous counsel that our counselors give us, the classes, through our earnest effort, and having a willing heart and a submissive obedience, and there's so much more, can we build to the point where we, where I, will be prepared to meet Yahweh and Yahshua. I love to teach, and if all possible, I'm not going to not accept that opportunity to teach. But I also know that those who teach will receive a stricter judgment, as Jacob chapter 3, verse 1 says. But isn't that why we're all here? To learn to become those teachers? Because we're going to need every single one of us, as Pastor has told us, to teach. And as the banner says, learn what to teach so we can teach what we've learned. These are ways that I'm preparing myself to one day meet Yahweh and Yahshua. But I also know that when that day comes, I'm not going to remember all the right things that I've done. I'm going to remember all the wasted time, the poor attitude, the bad choices, the flare-ups, and the unwillingness, even if it's only within my mind. If those moments outweigh the righteous moments, then I've lost what I've come here for. Through prayer, fasting, and repentance, an earnest effort, and the application of these things, the positive will outweigh the negative, pushing the negative out. The positive will shine forth with great joy, and the bad will not be as easily remembered. Then and only then will I, have the confidence of looking forward to the day that I'm able to meet Yahweh and Yahshua. It's not going to be easy. It's doing what's needed. So remember your first love. When you knew Yahweh's way was the way you wanted to be and go. For what's done in secret will be shouted from the rooftops, as Luke 12:3 tells us, because nothing is hidden, as we learned in Psalm 139. Then we, like the Apostle Shaul, will have the confidence spoken of in 2 Timothy 4:7-8. And with that, I pray Yahweh blesses our understanding, and I'll turn it over to our next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Yahweh bless you all. Please be seated. One of the things that the scriptures teach us, and Pastor has taught us, that our character has to be of a certain quality in order to work with and even to be in the presence of Yahweh and Yahshua. So my first slide, if we go to Hebrews 12:14, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see Yahweh. Okay, so we have to have a certain peaceful and holy character according to his laws, and even in order to even see him. And in Luke 21:36, Yahshua has given us instructions how we need to be ready for his return. And he says, watch and pray always that you will be accounted worthy to, number one, escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So we know that there's a certain quality of character we have to have in order to be in their presence, so, and to work with them. So one way that we can do this, I think, is by what I call monitoring your character homeostasis. monitoring your character homeostasis. And I want to share this concept with you because I'm going to show you how it applies to your character, but also how it works in the human body, right? It's important that we apply this principle to our character, but also we're going to be guarding and keeping this wonderfully made body that Yahweh gave us throughout all eternity. So it's important that we know how it works. Now, what is homeostasis? Okay, so if you look at the pronunciation, homeostasis, homeostasis. Okay, remember that. Remember, Pastor said that our microbes are set by law in our body, right? So one of the ways that the microbes are set by law is they practice this law called homeostasis. And when they practice this law, they maintain a relatively stable environment within the body. They maintain a relatively stable environment within the body. What am I talking about? Okay, so homeostasis actually means to stay the same. And one way that our microbes are programmed by Yahweh to help our body stay the same is through temperature. So the body, our body temperature, the normal range is between 97 and 99 degrees, you see. If that's where the body likes to live, that's where our microbes best function. If the body temperature gets below, like it's at 96 or below, then our heart, our brain, it might stop working. They slow down and could stop working. If it gets above 100, which we've been hearing a lot in the news about fever, right? Then certain proteins in the body can break down and you can even get dehydrated. So Yahweh designed our bodies such that the microbes are able to keep our temperature within a very narrow range. Another example is blood sugar. I'll just touch upon this lightly. Our blood sugar in the morning, first thing when we get up, it should be between 70 and 100. People with diabetes, for example, they have their microbes have a tough time keeping it within that range. So basically, if we're outside of these ranges, these values, the body experiences dysfunction. Well, how does this apply to character? So in Matithia 7, verses 13 through 14, Yahshua described, he said, hey, I want y'all to enter this narrow gate, this narrow way. The wide gate, the broad way, is what leads to destruction. It's the straight gate and the narrow way that leads to life. So that's our character. We need to be keeping our character within a certain range, and so that we can be in unity, so we can be compatible to work with Yahweh. We'll just be able to jump right in and go with his flow. So the list of positive character traits. So if you look at this slide here, y'all are familiar with the positive and negative character traits. If I'm patient in the morning, okay, and then I get dishonest in the evening, okay, I make choices that are consistent with that, then I'm broadening that way, okay? Our goal is to keep it narrow. We want to keep our behavior within that one column. All right. So we need to be evaluating ourselves regularly, of course, so we can make sure that we're staying within that narrow range of behavior. Okay, the next. So the bottom line is this, family. Humans need limits. We need limits to live. Okay. We can't just conduct ourselves all willy-nilly, as one of my friends says. We can't just be all over the place with our choices and our behavior and expect to enter that narrow way. So let me just summarize some ways that we can practice this principle of maintaining or upholding character homeostasis. Number one, we need to be praying. Like I said, in Luke 21, 36, Yahshua said you got to pray, watch and pray that you'll be accounted worthy to stand before me. That means you need to be praying that your character will be of the quality that you can confidently and humbly stand before him. And also you can be praying to Yahweh. Yahweh, please give me feedback. Let me know where my character is strong, where I'm weak. If my character is whacked, then have a friend tell me you're out of line. You're out of that narrow range. Number two, we need to self-examine. And I think in 1 Timothy 4:16, it says, pay attention to yourself in the doctrine. I often tell myself, pay attention to yourself. Confession is a great way to do that. When you confess, you look at the sins you've committed, and you can look at the negative character traits you've been practicing and where you need to reel it in. And then once you realize the negative character traits you have been practicing, Then you want to adjust. Number three, that's part of the conversion process. You want to make the necessary adjustments through your plan of action. So family, I just encourage everyone to set your mind in advance. That's the last step, Simia, set your mind in advance. Set your mind in advance for that day, because it's coming. And you know why it's going to come? Because you all have been maintaining your positive character homeostasis. Yahweh bless you all. I enjoy speaking with you, Pastor. Thank you for allowing me to speak to the family today. And I'll turn it over to the next teacher of righteousness. Yahweh bless you.
Please sit. The title of my speech today is, What is Yisrael Telling Us? As you'd heard previously, the theme for our speaking today was, prepare yourself to meet Yahweh and Yeshua. Get to your best and stay there. Well, our great overseer has always told us to study every word. I decided to do that in this speech with the theme. Yisrael doesn't say anything just randomly. There's always a message behind everything he says if you just truly just listen. You might think you know what a word means, but trust me, look up the words, because sometimes those meanings go really deep. My source today that I used was the Merriam-Webster.com and, of course, the Book of Yahweh. So I went to look up the word prepare, and it kept taking me to preparing, because originally I was told preparing, but it took me to prepare, so this worked out great. Prepare is to make ready beforehand for some purpose, use, or activity. I love this next one. To put in a proper state of mind. To work out the details of a plan in advance. And that made me think of when we have our confessions, we are always asked, do you have a plan of action in overcoming? The synonyms were really kind of a little mind-blowing for me as well. The word fit. The word fix. The next one I know they meant in a different way, but I took it as we were meeting Yeshua because it was groom. That's what I took it as. The first thing that came to my mind was Yeshua as the groom. But we know that they mean it in a different way. Lay and prep. And what do we do every prep day? We're preparing for the Sabbath. And ready. So I looked up also the word yourself. And it means you personally. Your own self, not your neighbor, you. Meet is to come into the presence of, and I like this next one as well. Each one had a meaning that was just so awesome to me. To come together with, especially at a particular time or place. To come into contact with, to enter into personal dealings with, to conform to, especially with exactitude, and precision. And the word exactitude means the quality or state of being accurate and correct. To receive or greet in an official capacity. To come face to face. And that's probably the definition that most of us thought of when we hear the word meet. And the next one is to come together for a common purpose. And that one really drives it home to me as well. Then I went to the word get. And it is to obtain possession of. And the next one is my most liked. To seek out and obtain. To make ready. To bring or move oneself. To succeed in becoming. The next word is your. And that's relating to or belonging to you. Made or done by you. No one else. Just you. Best. Is offering or producing the greatest satisfaction to the greatest advantage. Here's the one I like. The greatest degree of excellence and one's maximum effort. And that made me think of perfection. We're striving for that perfection. Stay is to stop going forward, to stop doing something. Now, what came to my mind was that to stop sinning, to stop going forward in sinning and to stop sinning. To continue in place or condition. And there I thought of overcoming. Continue in their overcoming. Here's the one I like. To stand firm. to take up residence, capacity for endurance, to fix on something as foundation. In Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 16, on page 950, it says, "But now they long for a better kingdom, that is a heavenly. Therefore, Yahweh is not ashamed to be called their father, for he has prepared a city for them." Yahweh has prepared a city for us. He's waiting on us to finish our preparing. Time is running out. Yochanan 14, verse 2 and 3 on page 831 says, "In my father's house are many mansions. If this were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also." Yeshua is preparing a place for us in Yahweh's kingdom. And when those places are ready for us, he'll come. Will we be prepared? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8, on page 897, says, "For if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will prepare himself?" And we know that includes us, sisters, or herself, for battle. Yisrael is our trumpet, and he is sounding a loud, clear call. Are we hearing it and preparing? Matithya 25, verse 1 through 13. I'm not going to read it, but we all know that's the wise and foolish virgins. How did the wise ones know to have oil in their lamps? They were warned by someone to prepare. Obviously, the foolish ones didn't heed the warning, and they weren't prepared. They weren't allowed in. All they had to do was have the oil and to trim their lamps. That was it. Matithya 7, verse 13 through 14, on page 733, says, "Enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are those that go that way. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there are who find it." Sometimes you have to prepare to go through that narrow gate. Wide gate's easy to go through. Not a problem at all. You don't need to prepare. Since the way is narrow, we need to prepare, and few do. So how can we prepare to go through the narrow gate? Study, study, study. Study, study, study. We have so many books, PWs, newsletters. We have classes, even if they're online. We can listen to the sermons on the radio, the podcasts, the MP3s. Yahweh will accept no excuses because we have none. So what is Yisrael telling us? He is telling us to put ourselves in a proper state of mind. You personally will come together at a particular time and meet Yahweh and Yeshua. Seek out and obtain, done by you and only you, the greatest degree of excellence. You have the ability to mentally and physically endure. Now we know what Yisrael is telling us. I thank you for the blessed opportunity of speaking to today, and I will turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Okay, so the title of my speech today is "What's on the Menu?" Now, I know you might be thinking the menu is Oki chicken and later it'll be quesadillas. We were already told that. But no, what's on the menu is eternal peace. That's my title. And I want to start off by reading from the ninth book of Yisrael, and it's part 2, chapter 17, verses 10 through 11. And it says, overseer said, "For your dinner today, the plate that Yahweh has given you is complete peace. And you really need to work on your kinks, your spots, and wrinkles." And when we really think about that, that is exactly what we need to focus on right now. The time is so short now. And I know we've been hearing that a lot, but we know now we're in the 3.5 years, the plagues have started, It is time to work on our spots and wrinkles. So continuing reading, it says, and mostly it's the ups and the downs of your body and your sugar that affect your emotions. So Overseer is telling us you have to take care of yourselves. You have to take care of yourselves first to be able to be of service to Yahweh. So it's the ups and downs of your body and your sugar that affect your emotions. And of course, when you're down in a certain way, then different things can get to you. And you start building up an anger inside your body. And sometimes we let it out where people can see it. But listen at this great wisdom from our overseer. He says, if we write ourselves a note the night before and lay it where you can read it the next morning, saying, I'm going to prepare for this. What are we preparing for, great saints? We're preparing for eternal peace that will last forever. And what we have to do is work on these wrinkles. We know what we struggle with. When you do something the day before and you feel remorseful about it, write yourself a note. Tell yourself, I'm not going to do this again tomorrow. That consistency and continuing to lift yourself up, I'm going to do better. Continuing reading with our overseer, it says, and whatever it is you're having trouble with, then you know, prepare yourself in advance. You know, set your mind to it and say, I'm not going to let my emotions affect my love and my blessings that I want to give to someone else. If we're wanting to be a blessing to someone else and then let something affect that, like you've got your mind on that, which probably doesn't amount to anything anyway, but you've got your mind on that. So you lash out at the people you love and the people Yahweh's telling you to love. You know, 100%. Love them 100%. Whether you can see them or whether you cannot see them, love them 100%. Because Yahweh loves us 100%. Praise Yahweh. That might help. Try it. I think it will, says our overseer. Now I want to go over to Romans 14. Because this is going along to the mindset that we need to have. Romans 14, starting in verses 10, and it says, but why do you pass judgment on your brother or your sister? Or why do you look down upon your brother or your sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of Yahshua. In verse 13, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, set your mind not to put any stumbling block or an occasion of falling in our brother or sister's way. Verse 16, therefore, do not allow your righteousness to be spoken of as an evil. For the kingdom of Yahweh is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in Yahweh's spirit, which is holy. And he who serves Yahshua in this way is acceptable to Yahweh and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things of peace and the things which built up the house of Yahweh for one another. And that's one great saying that I take such great joy in, is building up the holy house of Yahweh. Because as our great teacher has taught us, we are the house of Yahweh. And as we build up one another, you can feel a difference. You feel uplifted yourself when you uplift others. And when you see and when you notice that ripple effect, you'll see a difference. You'll feel a difference. You'll sense a difference. We've learned about that energy. There will be positive energy emitting. What did Overseer tell us? As we put out more and more positive energy, Satan has to try harder and harder. And then what? Yeshua will return. We know these things, saints. Let's work on focusing on those wrinkles. We're down to the nitty gritty. Those little bitty fine wrinkles is what we're working on. I want to go over to the 10th book of Yisrael. The 10th book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 4, and verse 89. Overseer is reading from Matithias 7:13. And it says, enter in through the narrow gate. And we've heard about that narrow gate today. He says, to do this right here, you've got to prepare yourself. You see a reoccurring theme that Overseer is telling us to do? We've got to prepare ourselves. You've got to learn. You've got to learn the laws of Yahweh. You've got to learn the prophecies. You've got to know where the work is. And when we see these prophecies come into pass, great family, we've got to believe. Overseer has been telling us these things. And when we see them, it's nothing to scoff about. We've got to believe. We're rejoicing in the fact that Yahweh told us these things in advance. So when they came to pass, we could rejoice. And you can already be leaping. Go ahead. Start dancing in advance because the time is so short now, saints. Like, to see these plagues finally coming to pass, this is an exciting time to be in Yahweh's great house. Blessed are we. Continuing reading, Overseer says, you got to be a part of this work. All of these things were taught by Yeshua in telling his disciples. Now I've shown you the peace of Yahweh, and I'm going to leave it with you. And this you're going to have to teach the world. This was the training, a whole system of religion that Yeshua gave to his disciples. And we are those donkey's coats. He's given it to us to teach the world. And I have Matithias 5 as my next scripture. And I'm not going to read it, but Matithias 5, 3 through 9, it talks about blessed are we. Blessed are we. Blessed are we for enduring the hardships and allowing ourselves to be humbled. We want to be those meek in spirit as our big brother Yeshua was, or as he is. We want to allow these things to humble us. Our hardships are our blessings because they make us stronger. If you don't feel stronger than you were the first day you walked in this sanctuary, I just don't know how. Because I know I'm stronger, and I'm pretty sure all of you all are stronger as well. And just really quickly from the 13th book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 10, verse 5, Overseer says, the Day of Atonement, you should be ready for it. You should know these things, and you should know that you've got to prepare yourself to get into this kingdom. He who overcomes, remember, he who overcomes, he who repents and converts, then their sins will be wiped away. They will be wiped out, blotted out, so you can be written in the book of life. Our overseer is the wisest man on this planet at this time. And guess what? He is your teacher. You have the greatest teacher, the greatest motivator, the greatest encourager, the greatest inspirer. You have Overseer Pastor Yisrael Hawkins with you every day. And Yahweh tells us, you are not alone. Yahweh is with us as well. Do not give up, saints. The world needs you. And with that, I would like to play a short song clip, and Yahweh bless the rest of your Sabbath day. Yahweh bless.
Shabbat shalom. Please be seated. The title of my speech is Achieving Your Best Will Not Come Easily, But It Will Be Worth It. So I put that in the Yamatrium, and I got three numbers. It was 60, 75, 39, 78, but the number that I want to focus on is 663. And in the Hebrew, that number means fortress. It caught my attention because we just finished taking our test for chapter 10 of our certification course. And in the first book of Israel, chapter 10, on page 68, it says, Spirit Holy is to help you obtain a great power. It is almost like a fortitude to keep you from sinning. It is like building a fort around you. With this, where you can resist and will resist and follow the path of peace, love, and joy. So that fortress that we're building, that Spirit Holy, those laws of Yahweh that are keeping us strong, that are helping us make the right choices as we practice the peaceful solution every day in our interactions, is what is going to help us become those perfect beings that Yahweh says we can become. So in the responsibility unit on page 18, it says, a responsible attitude towards your duties and obligations gives you structure, strength, and backbone. I remember many years ago, I was in a counseling session and I got a little teary-eyed, and one of my counselors just says, Deaconess, you've got to develop a backbone. And I was like, okay, I've been working on that. But that strength comes in, our strength is not ours. It comes from Yahweh, and it comes from us following those instructions. When we're given an instruction by a supervisor, by a counselor, a teacher, that's where our strength is building from us practicing that obedience to those instructions. And that's how we're developing that backbone. It says the quality of work on the responsibility unit, page 35. It says the quality of work you do and how you do it say a lot about your character. Because remember, that is what Yahweh is looking at, our character. So how are we doing things? What's the quality of these things that we're doing? Because we will be, this is what we're being judged for. So what is our duty, though? What is our, in Ecclesiastes, page 525, Ecclesiastes 12:13, Yahweh tells us, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Reverence Yahweh by observing, keeping his laws, for this is the whole duty of man. So that's our duty, to reverence Yahweh by observing, keeping his laws. So it sounds easy, right? Well, it is simple. It's not always easy. And it's in our daily interactions that we find these challenges sometimes. But we just heard from our previous teacher, great speech. She said, we have the wisest teacher. And there should be no doubt in our minds that he is. When he created the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, we know we can study the laws, and that's knowledge. Okay? We could memorize all 613 laws. And that would be beautiful, and that'd be great. But the practicality of those laws, that's the wisdom that Yahweh wants to see in us. And where do we get to? Where do we get to practice this? Where do we get to show Yahweh what our character is like? Every day, all the time, with every single interaction, every single person we speak to, we're showing forth our character. So it's not going to come easily, okay? And we were warned about this. We were told. We were taught about this. So it says the odds are against us, right? It says, Yahweh says, 3 out of 4 will fall away. So out of all the people that are being called, we know that if our strength is going to come in standing firm in our place and not giving in to any other teaching other than the house of Yahweh. Recently, the great Koham said, very shortly, the world is going to be taught exclusively by the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh for that, right? But in the house of Yahweh, we're already being taught exclusively by the house of Yahweh. We're being taught every day by our co-workers, okay? Again, that's where the teaching, the learning, and the practicing is taking place, at our workplace. So it's going to take endurance. In Hebrews 12:1, Yeshua tells us that we've got to run this race with endurance. So we know it's going to take endurance. We don't need endurance to do a very simple job. We need endurance when we're tackling these big battles that we're facing time and time again. It says, through much tribulation, we will enter the kingdom of Yahweh. That's Acts 14:22. On page 856, it says this, they strengthened. This is, Shaul was stoned. And he then took Barnabas, and they thought he was dead. But he took Barnabas and went into the next city in Derbe to preach. And it says, they strengthened the minds of the disciples and exhorted them to remain firm in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of Yahweh. So we know that it's not going to be an easy way. But nothing that is worth it will come easily. We know that too. So we should be willing to put in all that effort into becoming those perfect beings that Yahweh is expecting to see. So our instructions, we were given an instruction today. It says, be preparing to meet Yahweh and Yeshua, get to your best and stay there. That's an instruction. That's an instruction that we're being given. And on page 103 and 105 from the Moral Excellence in the Workplace, we are told how to do this. It says, a responsible person would handle the situation wisely, regardless if the coworker were a friend or not. So when you're given an instruction, you see someone not following an instruction, you're going to go and let that person know, oh, this is the way we do it, because it doesn't matter if that person is your friend or not, because the work has to be done, and it has to be done right. So it says a responsible person is going to go take care of that, whether the person is a friend or not. It says the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program teaches us how to have a responsible attitude to all. So if our instruction today is get to your best and stay there, then we need to get on that. We need to get to our very best, and then we need to stay there. And we need to teach it, because remember, we are being leaders. We're preparing to be those leaders. So leaders lead by example. So we cannot be ready to give an instruction when we ourselves are not willing to follow it. So it has to come with us first, okay? And it says in the same Moral Excellence in the Workplace, on page 105, it says, a responsible person follows through on what he has been asked or instructed to do. And that is because being a responsible person requires you to be obedient and diligent. So Sisters, it's going to take a lot of work, a lot of effort, but it can be done. Yahweh says we can. And I just want to close with a quote. It says, if you can imagine it, you can achieve it. And if you can dream it, you can become it. So let's live simply, let's love generously, care deeply, and let's speak kindly to one another. And with that, pass it over to the next teacher.
Shalom, everyone. You can be seated. So last moon, we were the parking lot people, right? Living in prophecy. And although I am very thankful to be able to give this speech to your smiling faces, I did enjoy being in my car. This past feast, I was able to get so much out of services because there were less distractions. It was just me in my car with my snacks listening to services, right? But that car needed maintenance. I needed to remember to fill up with gas before the feast, to check the oil, check the coolant, brake fluid, power steering fluid, transmission fluid, tire pressure. And those are just a few of the things that we need to make sure our vehicle is properly maintained. And now I'm not an expert, okay? But what occurs if we don't maintain our vehicles? What occurs if our coolant leaks out? Our engine overheats, right? Or what if we don't put oil in it? You know, our engine could seize up and we could ruin it. Those are just two examples of catastrophic damage that could lead to the end of our vehicle if it's not properly maintained. And what about our homes, right? Okay, we clean our homes, we organize our homes, but what about the physical structures themselves? The Texas sun, the rain, the wind can be very destructive on our homes, right? And sometimes we get leaks. I know, the dreaded roof leak, right? Come on, how many of you have been there? Yes, right? The dreaded roof leak, okay? So it usually starts small. You put a bucket under it, okay. Sun comes out the next day, ceiling dries up, not a problem. But then we get that torrential rainfall. You know when it rains for days and the inches pile up, and pretty soon your bucket is filling up. And now the drywall is starting to sag and bow, right? Okay? And the ceiling doesn't dry out. And then comes the mold. Yeah. And now you need to fix the roof, fix the drywall, you know, redo the mud, repaint it, all because of that one roof leak. So you can see maintenance is very important. You know, a little leak can turn into a big problem if it's not fixed. So what is maintenance? What does it mean to maintain something? So the definition of maintain, and I'm not going to read all of these, but it means to keep in existence or continuance, to preserve something. Number two is to keep in due condition. And look at number six, to hold, to keep or hold against an attack. Isn't there a scripture that comes to mind with that? Now, what about Satan is that roaring lion seeking whom she can devour? And number seven, to provide for the upkeep or the support of. Those are just a couple of definitions of the word maintain. Everything needs maintenance. Our spiritual health needs maintenance too. 1 Timothy 4:14-16. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the body of priests and priestesses. When we neglect Spirit Holy, we fail to maintain it. We fail to do the things that will keep our spirits healthy and strong. Verse 16, pay attention to yourself and to the doctrines. Continue in them. Remember that word continue. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Continue in them. That word continuance was part of that definition of maintain. And how do we maintain them? Deuteronomy 12:5. Go to the place, right? Where is that place? Israel, Texas. Gather ourselves together. We gathered in the parking lot last moon. And we kept our appointments with Yahweh. Colossians 2:16 through 17. Last moon, we kept an awesome feast to Yahweh. We were guided by our overseer, Yisrael Hawkins, on how to keep the feast holy and keep man's laws too. And Yeshua's memorial was beautiful. It was. And many of us women got to do something for the first time. Okay, I know we had a lot of firsts, but we got to blow the trumpets. That was a first for us, right? We blew them from our cars. Now, granted, my car horn is a little embarrassing, okay? It is not a strong trumpet. My car goes beep, beep. And most of the time, I would wait until the bigger SUV next to me would start laying on the horn before I'd add my two little beeps in there, okay? But I still blew my trumpet. And we rejoiced at Yahweh's feast, and we nourished our spirit holy. The Sabbath and the feast are so important. They're so important in maintaining our spiritual health. And not keeping the Sabbath or the feast any way you want, okay? Remember Isaiah 58:13-14, but keeping them holy, the way we have been instructed here in the house of Yahweh by our overseer. Maintaining our spiritual health is doing the things that we know we need to do, okay? It's, you know what, I think most of us who've been here for years, we know the things that we need to do to maintain that connection with Yahweh. But it's up to us to do it. And we've heard those great reminders today. We've heard that encouragement of the things that we need to do to keep our spirit strong. And that maintenance is crucial for our spiritual upkeep. But maintenance also requires fixing things, right? So let's revisit that dreaded roof leak and look at it from a spiritual perspective. That roof provides protection from the elements that shouldn't be in our homes. And when our spirits are not maintained, we let things inside of us that shouldn't be there. Worldly entertainment, worldly music, gossip, hatred, bitterness, fighting, you fill in the blank. It's up to us to fix that leak when we see it. But sometimes we don't see that leak, right? It takes a trained expert to look up and be like, oh, yep, see, that's water damage. You got a roof leak up there. You know, it takes that trained eye from our overseer, from our head, from our counselors, from the judges, from the Kohanas, to show us something that we need to work on, to show us that leak, that thing that needs to be fixed within us. And what if we don't fix it? Okay, so you've got that leak in the ceiling that you've kind of ignored. You know, put a bucket under it, dump the bucket. Now the bucket's overflowing. The drywall comes crashing down, and you have a gaping hole in your ceiling. Right? New skylight? No. Now the walls are moldy because we chose not to fix that leak. We chose not to plug that hole of negativity, whatever it was, you know, whatever it is for us. And now the rain pours in and it's rotting your floors. And our foundation is getting weak. And say that spiritual leak was bitterness. If someone wronged us and we chose not to forgive, if we chose not to let it go, if we chose to let it separate us from our family, that floor is eventually going to get so weak that we're going to fall through. And I know, sisters, that none of us want that. We are so close to the end. None of us want to be falling through in these last days. But sisters, I'm here to tell you that it's not too late But it will be soon if we don't start maintaining and fixing our spiritual health. And if you need help fixing that spiritual leak, put in a work order with your counselors. Maintenance requires a team of workers. We are so close, sisters. Don't procrastinate. Get to your best and maintain it. Please stand and welcome the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom. Please be seated. Okay, I am in a whole disposition today, so bear with me. Okay, you can't see, but this is the 6 feet rule, so I'm like a... If you come within that distance, you are too close. Too close. Okay, can you get your books of Yahweh and turn to Luke chapter 10? Oh, to all of the lovely people, upward of 5 million views. We in the house of Yahweh celebrate with all of you 5 million views. So, I need for us to, I'm so excited, I have to calm down. You all heard our beloved overseer during the feast, right? Did you hear him? He said Yeshua is here. You heard that? Oh, y'all are sorry. Y'all are too sorry. That means he's over there. Like right now, he's here. Do you know what that means? So you should be asking, when can I see him? When will I get to meet him? Our King is here. Now I told you I'm in a disposition today because everything that I've lived for and know is to be able to meet Yeshua the High Priest, Yahweh my Father. Being in the house of Yahweh, this has been the pinnacle of my life. The highest point, the greatest honor. There has been nothing that I've done better than this. Nothing. If you can, I have a thing. Oh, it's on? Okay, can we look at this thing? It says, a SARS-like cluster of circulating bat coronavirus shows potential for human emergence. In the journal Nature, this was published around 12/2015. And it talks about how labs were, and different well-known leaders of labs, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, Harvard, the Wuhan School of Virology, all of them participated in the study of this coronavirus and SARS and the merging of this and what it can do, the potential for what it can do. And Pastor, when he spoke this feast, there's nothing done to mankind, right? That's not done by mankind. People do to people. This is the This is what, there's not some demon somewhere who came down and the gods and Satan and all of them, they said, oh, we're going to do this to mankind. No, mankind is doing this to mankind. And the influence of these beings is so subtle, because if we're not very attentive, we can also be criminals in this same practice. So meeting Yeshua, he's already here. So how am I going to be honored to meet him? In Luke chapter 10, we'll start with verse 25. It says, then behold, a certain lawyer, now this is an expert in the law of Yahweh, stood up. And the stand-up was to test Yeshua. And the question is, this is so polite, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Yeshua said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? So he answered and said, you must love Yahweh your Father with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might, and your neighbor as yourself. The side note W3 says, you shall love Yahweh. That is, you shall unite all the faculties of your mind to render him the most intelligent and sincere, the most affectionate and resolute service. Then he said to him in verse 28, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. W4 says, here is no irony, but a deep and weighty truth. He and he alone who loves Yahweh and his neighbor in this present life shall live forever. This is not a far off kingdom come when I get there. In verse 29, but he, wanting to justify himself, said to Yeshua, and who is my neighbor? And Yeshua answering and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Now the travel from Jerusalem to Jericho is about 18 miles. It's a little further than walking from here to Abilene. And we're not talking about paved roads. You know, we're not talking about asphalt. We're talking about going down in elevation, rocky, desert-like terrain. And he fell among thieves in this terrain. The thieves stripped him of his clothing, then wounded him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Then by coincidence, a priest came. There was a priest and a Levite. And both passed, passed by on the other side. So you have this narrow road, and they, when you read into the wording, they were disgusted and detested by this man. Like, I am not gonna get away from him. He's all beat up and bloody, and somebody, I gotta get down away from him. But then this Samaritan. Now the side note says the nation was odious to the Israelites. The word odious, it means detestable. Disgusting. It's something that excites hate. Now this Samaritan, in verse 34, he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring olive oil and wine over them. He set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Then the next day, before he left, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever you spend over this, when I come again, I will repay you. Now, which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy. He who showed mercy. The side note says, help him who has need, although you don't know him. And then Yeshua's response was, go and you do the same. This is why I rejoice in 5 million views. Because though there are few here, each person has put aside their own weight and they've carried this load. You have sacrificed and carried this load. About 3 years ago, I was under so much stress. It was so intense. So I called this lady that I know. She gave birth to me. And she said, Kaim, there's a reason you came into this world the size of a 6 foot, 200 pound linebacker. I'm not lying. That's what she told me. I thought, well. She said, your back is strong. If you can turn over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9. I think it's Jeremiah. Yes, verse 24. It says, but let those who glorify in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Yahweh who exercises what? Yahweh exercises loving kindness, Yahweh exercises judgment, and Yahweh exercises righteousness in the earth. That is Yahweh's character, and that is the character that we have to have in order to meet Yeshua. He's here. Please let's allow him to reveal himself. Okay? In closing, if you find yourself in the middle of a situation, that middle means that you have to make a choice. And you're not choosing between people. A lot of times people think it's between people, but it's not. It is between righteousness and evil. Okay? And we in the house of Yahweh do not stand in the middle. Okay? We are not a wishy-washy, oh, so I don't know people. We are a holy people, striving for righteousness and asking Yeshua, please reveal yourself. And with that, if you can all please stand and welcome the next speaker. Praise Yahweh.
Shabbat shalom. Please be seated. It's nice to be back in here. It's been a while. Praise Yahweh. In Isaiah 51:12, it says, Even I am he who comforts you. And if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, blessed be Yahweh, the Father of our King, Yahshua Messiah, the Father of mercies, Yahweh, who gives all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by Yahweh. And that brings me to the title of my speech. And that is, so why did I eat the cake? Now, you might wonder, what does this have to do with being comforted? And I'll get to that. But I'd like everyone to take a minute, and of course, I don't want your answer, but think about when you get upset, stressed, hurt, what do you go to immediately for comfort? And some might be blessed that they immediately pray. Some might go to food. We don't drink anymore, so we don't go to that. But you might go to a video game or anything to get it off your mind and have comfort. And that's what we need to think about. So there's many ways to get comfort. And how did we get that way? How did we ever start going to these things for comfort and not the Creator? I want you to go back when you were a child and you fell and hit your knee and your mommy says, oh, honey, it's okay. Here, I've got a piece of candy. That'll make it go away. You remember? Did any of y'all experience that? Here, your daddy left. It's okay. We'll go see a movie. Peter Pan. You see, we were raised with comfort from physical things. I'll buy you a new bike. Oh, whatever occurred, somebody, not necessarily your mother, whoever was taking care of you, would give you something to take your mind off the pain. That's how sneaky Lucifer is. She is just really slick, because who would ever think that you would then grow up and all your life seek your comfort from a physical thing? Now, I can tell you, when I get stressed, I'm going to eat. That's my comfort. Not anymore, but that's how I was. I'm going to eat. And I had many other things in the world that I did. I had an addiction for comfort for 40 years. 40 years, the same thing. But here's the thing. This is a twofold speech. I want to explain to you why we do what we do. But I also want to tell you there's a way to get rid of it. Right now, Pastor, all over the radio all week, he's saying it over and over and over from 2003 and 4. To get past these addictions, to concentrate on our health, to do everything we can to go to Yahweh first. And right now we're trying to get close to Yahweh, closer than we've ever been. So when you get stressed out, hurt, or upset, start thinking. Get up and go pray. Don't get the cake, because it will never satisfy you. They say, well, it's the dopamine or whatever, when you eat chocolate or whatever. And I was thinking, no, if you're upset and you eat something, you can't even digest it. There's nothing way it's going to relieve you. But it's in your mind that that's your relief. That's your comfort. So in First Corinthians, I just read here's Shaul. He says, 6:12, all lawful things are permissible for me, but not all things are advantageous. All lawful things are permissible for me, but I will not be overpowered by any of them. So sisters, if there's anything in our lives that we are overpowered by, that we think about, the addiction I had, I thought about it every day. Every day I would get up and think about when I could do this. When can I do this? And when I was upset, I did it. I always went to that same thing. And I tried to quit. You know, I really tried. But you hear that? I tried. No. You didn't want to quit if you tried. Because there's no such thing as trying. You either will or you won't. There's no such thing. So I didn't really want to quit. So you have to really look at what your thing is that you rely on, you fall back on. It can be anything. Food is a great example. And actually, I think everybody I know just about at some point thinks that's going to make them feel better. But think about it and decide, do I really want to quit? I don't want to quit food, I could tell you. But think about what it is. And that's what I did. And one day I said, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this. And so I went to Yahweh and I said, Yahweh, take the desire for this away from me, please. And you know, I can remember It was like one day I woke up and it was like almost the end of the day, and I thought, I haven't even thought about it. It's gone. Sisters, that's a miracle. And anything that your mind and heart dwells on that's not advantageous for you, decide you want to give it up. Go to Yahweh and ask him to take that desire. And I guarantee you, he'll do it. But first, we have to want to quit. We have to want to give it up. I have looked everywhere for a scripture that says, when Yahshua, the night before Yahshua was put on the stake, that he was really stressed out. I think he might have been, but he went to eat a piece of cake, or he played a video game or anything to get it off his mind. You ever see anything like that? No, he went to Yahweh. And that's what we have to do for everything. I know Pastor says pray three times a day, and sometimes I can find myself saying, well, I'll pray about that when I do my midday prayer or my night prayer. We can't do that anymore. If something needs to be prayed about, stop as soon as you can and go pray about it. I don't mean stop when you're waiting on a customer. We won't do that. But you see what I mean? Don't dwell on it. Don't hold it. Because odds are, have you ever was going to pray about something and that night you did your prayer and then you're laying in bed and I forgot. You forgot it. You didn't pray about it. You didn't sleep well. You didn't sleep well at all. There's so many things that we can do now to become as close as we can to Yahshua. And when I was thinking, because sometimes if I eat a piece of cake, I might eat three. I'm telling you, I just, once I get going, I get going. But well, how, I think now I say, well, how, if Pastor was sitting here, he'd say, what is wrong with you? Whatever it takes to get your mind situated. What if Yahweh was sitting there saying she's on her third piece? I mean, come on. We have got to start focusing with all our heart and all our might, because the time is here. We've got to be as close to Yahweh as we possibly can. So let's think about ways that we can do this, because it's been hard. I don't know about y'all, but not being able to go to class, to come into the sanctuary, it's been like a nightmare, because that's how we hold on. We go to class. So you go back and you watch old videos and stuff of classes. But sisters, if we do everything that the previous speakers have said, we will be there. We are there, like the Kohana said. Yahshua is here, and we get to fooling ourselves because we're thinking, well, like, he's not here yet, and I can still overcome this. No, we've got to overcome everything right now, today. And the first step is to really want to do it, to really, with all your heart, want to stop what you're doing and start over. And you know, Yahweh, is he not the most awesome thing, the awesome person, awesome creator? He gave us the ability to do that. He gave us the ability. Do you ever look back at your life? I look back and I can tell you another miracle, that I'm here in this house of Yahweh, because it's not of anything that I deserved. Because Yahweh knew, he had it planned for me to come. And don't you ever sit sometimes and I think, why? Well, it didn't have nothing to do with me, so it wasn't anything that I can figure out. He just put that in there, and it clicked, and I came. All of us, sisters. So now he knows our abilities. He knows what we can do. And sisters, these people coming, the addictions or the problems that we've had, they don't compare to what these people are going through out there. Just picture being out there now. Just imagine what it would be like to be out there right now with this virus and stuff. I think about people out there. I can't believe they're not running here. The ones that have left, why aren't they running here begging to come back inside this gate? Because they're deceived. They're blinded. They don't see it. And that's how it'll be right to the end, except for 2 billion. And I'm going to end with that, of thinking about how that 2 billion are coming in. Doesn't it just, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to teach them. But I had another thing, too, because I raised my children, and I did just what my family did with me. when they got hurt or they were sad, I cheered them up with candy, ice cream, movies, videos, whatever. But I'm going to have more children in the kingdom. And I was thinking, how am I going to do what am I going to do when they get hurt or they're sad? And I was thinking, well, if they fall and skin their knee, I could say, look, I have this bone flesh ointment. And Yahweh made this for you to put on your little boo-boo, you know. And it will make it better. And if it hurts real bad, let's go pray. And he'll take the pain away. Because our little children, they believe Yahweh. We have these misconceptions that we've grown up with, but they're pure. Our little children in the house of Yahweh, they're pure. And if you tell them that let's pray Yahweh will make it stop hurting, it'll stop hurting. So that's how we have to be. And we have to think of how we can change this treating, giving candy and cookies and ice cream as a comfort to our children and to ourselves. And it's just been a really joy to be back in here, and I'm going to turn it back over to the next speaker.
Miss Yahweh, please be seated. Isn't it great to be back home, people? This is great. I was so nervous when we had to speak because I'm like, I have to look at an empty room again. And then when I was told that Yahweh's family was coming back in, I said, I am more nervous because, Pastor, you should be up there, not us today. But it is a really blessed opportunity to come and welcome Yahweh's family back inside. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. Well, talking about my speech today, the lesson I have set for today, I'm calling it Just As Yahweh Said. Just As Yahweh Said. I spoke, not last time, but before, about the coronavirus and the five moons that Yahweh prophesied 6,000 years ago. Okay? Meaning he had the sea of glass. He knew exactly what mankind was going to do. So if you have not been keeping up with Pastor Richard Hawkins' sermons and his writings, please, I urge you, get on board and start cramming this exam, okay? So this coronavirus that has come up recently for the past months, this is the first plague. The first plague that began the last 3.5 years and is part of the first woe. So my first overhead here, the paper, says the cure. How many of you remember during feast, what did Pastor say, what was the cure?
Time.
Yes, it is time. Time is the cure. And how long is that time? Five moons. Okay, so Pastor Richard Hawkins, they have been listening, okay? Now, one thing that Pastor mentioned to me is when this corona started, this first plague, it comes on like a surprise, and then it goes pandemic, right? And then when it leaves, it's almost like a surprise. And remember what Pastor said, too, during the feast, is how it comes is how it will leave, okay? So if you notice my chart, how it comes for this five moons, it starts with a few cases. And when I say surprise, it's not a surprise to us in the house of Yahweh. Because as many speakers have said before me, Yahweh told us in advance. But to the world, it's a surprise. They go to the store, nothing left. They had to be quarantined. What? What? Okay, it's a surprise. Few cases, and it starts gradually going up. We were told it became pandemic because it has gone global, right? And now it's starting to dwindle, okay? It's starting to dwindle. But let's talk about this. One thing I want to also mention is that, you know, we were talking about how Yahweh warned mankind. And Yahweh, he did not cause this. Let's keep it straight here, people. Stop blaspheming Yahweh. Yahweh already knew you were going to do that. That's what he said in Revelations. You were going to come and blame me for it. Like you've always done, right? From the very beginning. But it is not Yahweh's fault. He says man has brought it upon themselves. And remember, they have the mark of the beast. That's why this virus falls upon, these plagues are falling upon those who do not keep Yahweh's feasts, his Sabbaths, or his laws, right? So this virus will take time, the five moons, and it takes five moons to work itself out. And for Yahweh to be so exact, five moons, and it's going to come a few, it's going to rise up, it's going to come back down and disappear. Five moons. Okay? Now, I know mankind, they like to credit themselves. Oh, well, the reason why there's few cases is because we quarantined ourselves and blah, 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 blah. They want to praise themselves that they're going to find a vaccine, they're going to stop this. But can I get back to that five moon chart again? The one before? Yeah, that one. Keep in mind this image on the overhead here. If mankind claims they're going to stop it, or that their gods are going to stop it, there will be none of this receding. It will just go up high. It's a pandemic. And guess what? It disappeared. We don't know what occurred. But no, Yahweh said in the five moons, this is the image, that mankind's virus and the building of their viruses and their sins have caused. So that's the image, okay? So I'm going to prove that mankind, yes, they brought this disease upon themselves, but Yahweh knows the microbes and he knows how it works. And Yahweh knows if you do this, you do that, these microbes are going to react in this way and you can't stop it. You can't. You've gone too far. So this is where we are right now in that image I showed before. We are at the peak was here, and we're starting to recede down. So now I'm going to go to my articles on the overhead. The first one to prove this is China, the article with China from NPR News. If I can, it says, China enters the next phase, and this was on 4/3, so this is right before feasts, okay? And remember, China was one of the nations that got hit with it first, okay? So their five moons, you know, is going to end before ours, okay? So China is going to a new phase, and in this article from NPR News, which stands for National Public Radio, there are now so few coronaviruses cases in China that some days authorities are saying that they're not seeing any local transmission. Remember, it was a pandemic, but now it's slowly dwindling, okay? Not drastically, not like it stopped. It's slowly dwindling. Now, for my second article, is from Italy. Italy was also another country hit really hard right after China. And this is from the Bloomberg article. It says, Italy reports fewer new corona cases and fatalities. See it? The numbers are going down. Just like how it came with a few cases, skyrocket, it's going to leave the same way. It will start dwindling. Now the United States. The United States. The first article is with Trump, and he is talking about reopening. That's because he's seeing also some improvement. And to prove this improvement in the United States, where the cases are slowing down, let's go to our next article. The next article is actually from Dr. Birx, and she is over the whole thing with the coronavirus. She's keeping track of data. She's looking at other nations, how are things going, the trends. And she's kind of like the spokesperson to speak on, you know, what should we do, you know, and how is it like right now? And she said it herself. I know the print is very small, but she said it in this video, and it's called the Coronavirus Task Force. It's a press conference. It was on 4/21, so this is really recent. And if you want to see the video, it's right at 23 minutes and 43 seconds. She says, there has been some improvements around the large metro areas. See that? The big cities here in America. The cases are dwindling. You see that? There's been improvement. But here's the next question, keeping with my paper on the display here. Okay? This is my question on my paper on the display. It says, I want you to think about after the five moons. After the five moons, and I want to show you where we will be on the overhead. After the five moons, right, and we're dwindling down, and we get down to zero cases of coronavirus after the five moons, where are you going to be? In the state of mind. And I say a state of mind because a lot of us are, you know, not here, or some of us are here physically, but in the state of mind, where are you going to be after Yahweh proved to you accurately that this first plague is going to last five moons? It goes back to what all of the wonderful teachers said today. How are we preparing ourselves to meet and to see Yahweh and Yeshua? Remember, they are here. They are here. Yahweh encamps about his house. Yeshua is the high priest who's sitting at the mercy seat. We have the mercy seat. Yeshua is here, and Yahweh is here. What are we going to do? How many times do we have to be proven over and over again that Yahweh has said it, and he is always right? He's always told us. It's like a parent, right? If they warn the child, it's because they love the child. They want to keep the child. It took 6,000 years for Yahweh to tell us over and over again from since Cain, look what you did when you murdered your brother. 6,000 years from now, the seven plagues are going to come upon you and you cannot turn it around. You will not be able to stop it. Yahweh told us first. So after these seven plagues, I want you to be encouraged because it's coming really soon, right? The completion of this whole plan of Yahweh, of him warning us and telling us to keep his laws, after these seven plagues have come through, we are going to be the one that cleans up the earth and the universe. Think about this. And it's going to take 1,000 years. 1,000 years to clean up this earth and the corruption that has occurred. Are you going to be on Yahweh's team? We have to be on Yahweh's team. Yahweh needs us. And this 1,000 years is the millennium reign. Millennium ring. Let it ring in your ears. If you have any questions, okay, if you have any questions concerning prophecies, Pastor Shahakin began his whole teaching with question and answer. So if you have a question, ask Israel Hawkins. There's no question he cannot answer. He answers it 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes, okay? He answers it. Daniel asked him, well, when will this be? How can this be? What's going to occur? He answered Daniel then too. He will answer the questions because the greatest high priest is working with him. The one who is totally in advance of learning and understanding prophecy is Yeshua, who is also learning underneath Yahweh. Awesome team right there. So ask Israel Hawkins. Don't dial his number 24 hours a day. But Israel Hawkins has it through the sermons. He has the answers through the sermons. He has the answers through the Prophetic Word newsletter. And he's been writing the answers since the 70s, people. The Mark of the Beast. Books upon books. He has the answers. So just like the way he began his teaching with question and answer, yes, we will have questions, but ask him. Ask him, study, and receive the answer and apply it and truly believe in it. If you all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to our next great teacher.
Shabbat shalom again, great saints of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Please sit. I just heard the great speaker that spoke before me. She said, my speech, she said, Cain killing Abel. So, for my portion today, I'd like to entitle it, What Have You Done? What have you done? These are the words that Yahweh spoke to Cain after Cain killed his brother Abel. You find that in Genesis 4:10. What have you done? And Yahweh was not just for his messenger saying it to Cain only. And you will find it in Genesis 4. If you go 8 to 11, you have the nice account right there. Cain killed Abel, and Yahweh said, where is Cain, your brother? And Cain said, Yahweh says to Cain, where is Abel, your brother, sorry? And Cain said, I don't know. He just killed him. But he said, I don't know. Yahweh said, the blood, the voice of your brother's blood, the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me. Can blood cry? Does blood have a voice? The voice of your brother's blood. The great one, Saint Israel Hawkins, has been talking about the microorganisms for the entire feast. Day after day, the microorganisms, what about them? What are they doing? So when Yahweh told this to Cain, it wasn't just like Cain one-to-one or just a messenger giving it to Cain. Yahweh looked down through the ages of mankind to this time, 6,000 years later, and Yahweh said to Cain, what have you done? Meaning, this bitterness, the aggravation, the envy, whatever that was in Cain that caused him to kill Abel is going to multiply and mutate to the 6,000 years our day now, when we are going to use nuclear and explode our bodies and our skin alone, skeleton, hair standing, our skin's gone in explosion. What have you done? Yahweh telling it to Cain for all the generations of mankind to come. That character in Cain is today. Because the scripture says, mankind has gone the way of Cain. True or false? Now let's go back to the two little boys. Two little boys about the same age group, Cain and Abel. Cain and two little boys playing in the backyard together. You know what little boys do? They climb trees. They do all kinds of things. They're best friends about the same age group. True? Yes, little boys. Cain and Abel. But they're growing up now. Because remember, they became priests. One for the adversary, one for Yahweh. About they're growing up, 14, 15, about 15, 14 years. They start teaming up against the authority. You know, they're growing up now. Well, that's not what he exactly said. Well, what did he say? You know, boys growing up, doing all, you know. Young, they're becoming young men. Now, they are men. One is a priest of Yahweh, one is a priest of the gods. What is it that has caused Cain to turn? What is it that has caused Cain to turn so much in bitterness against his brother who were playing with him in the yard? What is it that caused him to turn in such bitter jealousy that when he hears Abel's voice or anything about Abel, his face would flush? And he would feel upset and enraged to the extent he thinks, I'll just have to kill him. Your brother, the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me. So, what is it that caused him to turn against his brother like that? This is what is the characteristics in mankind now. Mutated and grown. So, sisters, talking to our sisters today, but when it says that character is in mankind, you know it means womankind too. It means us females too. It's a character. Let's look at some examples. It's a little bit harsh, but let's look at some of the character that we see exhibited in women, the character. Could we show the first video snippet, please?
I mean, that is the land of unconfirmed reports.
Yes, we came, we saw, he died.
Did it have anything to do with your visit?
No, I'm sure it did.
You remember that? That was when some king or Gaddafi, when he died, and the leader, the womanhood, we came, we saw, he died, laughing, jesting at people's death. It's a character. That's what we're speaking about, not about the people. It's the character where we're going to use nuclear to blow each other up. Can we see the next picture or headline, please? Theresa May says she would kill 100,000 men, women, and children with nuclear bomb. This is a woman. And what it says, thousands of people if she thought it necessary. She, at the time, she was the Prime Minister of United Kingdom. That's a woman, sisters. She will kill hundreds of thousands of men, women, and children. What have become to our women in the character of Cain? I heard character used twice for great speakers. You know, there's women who used to be so nice, and you know what women do, take care of the babies, the children. How many babies you have? One, you have to cut the fingernails and file it, toenails, comb the hair nice. That's what women do, right? I mean, but compare the character to other womanhood. Now, women, there's a prophecy or in Lamentations 2:20, or if we look at Lamentations 4:10 or 2:20, it talks about the delicate women eating her children. So you say to me, well, we are civilized now. We are not cannibals. What do you mean we will eat our children? How so? How do you see women now, character, eating the children? Well, I don't know. We are not animals, but we're civilized. Okay, so tell me what you think. Well, our pharmacists, schools of higher learning, the great overseer spoke about it last week, schools of higher learning, they'll make capsules for us. They'll take the embryo. The baby's aborted, take the body parts, make supplements, put them in pills for us, capsules, and we'll take it. Is that eating the children? But we're civilized, we are not cannibals. How dare you say that about us? You see, it's a character, is what it is. Because the Great One said, Yahweh is going to make a character who is going to help him rule the universe. Compare the characters. What have you done? Can we show the picture of the baby, please? Because it reminds me of... You remember this picture right there? It was worldwide when it came out. A baby on the seashore died because they were trying to go to a different place, escape war, famine, hunger, all kinds of things that us, the leaders, the people have done. We men... wanting to kill hundreds, thousands. And I said, well, if the scripture says women will eat their children, it wouldn't be difficult for a woman to decide, well, then I can kill so many women, children, men. So how does that feel to her as a woman? Does he have a name? What about his mommy and his daddy? Does he have a pet? Is that a real person? The great one Sen said last Sabbath, he said he was naming some of the minerals in the soil. He said the earth is a recycling plant. It makes things for us. And mankind should use those things for blessings, but rather we use them for curses. He said, oh, that mankind would just use them as blessings. And it reminds me of the taser. You know what the taser? I was sitting there while he was talking. I was thinking, the taser. If they would just use that taser. Do you know what a taser is? It's so bad to see a man like big men cops using a gun and shooting the lady. So they make the tasers? Let's just taser her instead. Men, big policemen, because they have the force and use things to shoot. The taser, can we look at, mommy is a little bit harsh, so kind of like tell the children, but can we look at a small clip on the tasers, please?
June 4th, just after midnight, this video was captured by a camera mounted on a California Highway Patrol car. Officers stopped to check on the welfare of the driver, 50-year-old Angela Jones of Los Angeles.
How much did you drink tonight?
Nothing.
What about medication or drugs?
Suspecting she might be under the influence of drugs, the CHP officers questioned Jones for the next 15 minutes. Then she refused to let the officers look through her purse.
I just don't feel like I want you to take my purse from me.
Watch what happened next. The weapon in the officer's hands, a taser electronic control device. According to the arrest report, the CHP officer hit the trigger on his taser model X26 three times, sending three separate jolts into Jones' chest. They pulled her out of the car, placed her on the sidewalk, and then realized she wasn't breathing.
She is extremely lucky to be alive.
It was March of 2008, Charlotte, North Carolina. Store security cameras captured 17-year-old Daryl Turner as police deployed a taser model X26 following an argument with the store manager. The teenager collapsed just off camera and later died. Pasadena attorney John Burton represented the Turner family in a civil trial that resulted in a jury award of $10 million. He is now preparing a lawsuit on behalf of Angela Jones.
This device, the taser as it's called, is much more dangerous than the company indicates and that police believe. And especially when it's shot in the chest, the electric current can take over the heart rhythm and cause cardiac arrest.
Kane, what have you done? What have you done, Kane? What have you done? Now, the taser. Do you think Great House used as blessings, use the minerals of the earth, the things that the earth have, as blessings, not as curses, not as curses? What have we done? But Great House, you remember that song, that old song we used to sing about the new heavens and the new earth? I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and earth had passed away, and there was no more sea, ta 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 ta, and we will wipe away all tears, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, for the former things have come to pass or passed away. Remember that nice song? That's what we, Great House, are getting ready for. We are getting ready to meet Yahweh and Yeshua. And you know what the Great One Sent said? He said we're going to have to take it way back to the beginning and start right there to fix everything that Cain has caused us to do. With law number one, believe in Yahweh as the only source of power in the universe. Exodus 22. We're going to go back to the beginning and start all over. What do you think of that, Great House? Praise Yahweh. And this we turn over to the great priests of the house of Yahweh.